Thank you for your mercy of having me again here. this morning we will camp in Galatians chapter 3. But before reading the passage, I want you to imagine a courtroom. Courtrooms are not always nice places to be, right? Sometimes it could be difficult to be there, especially if we are guilty and we are the one being there. But imagine this courtroom scene, but not the kind of courtroom that we expected, that we might expect. Imagine, please, a John attorney. He stands before the judge, and he's prosecuting a case, and he's not holding back. His questions are sharp, direct, relentless. Maybe he's asking, did you or did you not receive this inheritance freely as a gift? Then why are you now trying to earn by your own effort what was already given to you? Don't you see the absurdity of what you're doing? The questions sting. The logic is devastating. This is not what we may call a gentle conversation. It's full of, it is a full prosecution. But there is something different. The person on trial is his own brother. And he's not trying to condemn his brother. He's trying to save him from throwing away the inheritance he already has. So he's fighting, the attorney is fighting two battles at the same time. He's fighting against his brother, his brother's foolishness, because he is believing lies that will ruin him and his life and those around him. But at the same time, the attorney is fighting for his brother's freedom so that he can enjoy the inheritance that he already has received. Then, in the middle of the prosecuting, the voice of the attorney cracks and asks, haven't you experienced his love and goodness? And haven't you even suffered for the gospel to throw this away now? Please don't waste it all. This is what we could call, this is a tough English word for me, prosecutorial love. What this attorney is doing is confronting, but in order to rescue his brother. He is rebuking in order to restore his brother. And that's Galatians 3. We will hear in a moment, oh, foolish Galatians. Let me tell you what we will find here. We will find here Paul with these kind of questions. Tough questions, hard questions, but full of pastoral love for these people. These people that have been drifting away from the truth of the gospel because of the lies of some that have been telling them, oh no, in order to be real sons of Abraham, you need to do this and this and this and this. You need to keep the law perfectly. and they have believed the lie. And in order to prove his point, Paul will use three exhibits. Exhibit A, experience. Exhibit B, scripture. Exhibit C, theology. Or, as you have in your, let me use the notes. Or as you have it in your notes, pay attention to your own story, Galatians. Look at your own story. Look at the scripture. Look at God's saving story. And the third one, look at the cross. And this is what we will find. And again, I will start reading Exhibit A only, and then Exhibit B and Exhibit C at the end. So verses 1 through, I will read verses 1 through 6, since there is a question that finished in verse 6. Galatians 3, verses 1 through 6. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith, just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness? I have been struggling the whole week. Was this the best title for the sermon? This is not the most important thing. But it's because of the content. This passage is full of content. Maybe we can call this first section, look at your own story. Look at your own experience. Or it was the Spirit who began this work in you. You will find this passage to be a passage that does not only speak about the story of the Galatians or the situation of the Galatians, but also how the Trinity gets involved into saving us. And in the first exhibit, Exhibit A, we will find, and please pay attention to the work of the Holy Spirit. And Paul starts saying or calling them foolish. Foolish Galatians. And it's obvious that his tone is not necessarily sweet. But it's harsh. But he's not calling them foolish in the same sense. When Jesus said, do not call fool your brother. It's another sense. He's not calling them foolish because he wants to insult them. But he's doing this because he wants to rescue them. They are really being foolish in the sense of Proverbs. Naive. Not paying attention to the truth of the scripture. Forgetting what they have already received. Putting aside the promises that they already know. And I know that this passage is sometimes has some things that are hard to understand. Especially for me, reading the passage in English. So what I tried to do this week was, okay, how can I put these words in words that will be easier for me to connect? Let me give you what was the result for me. You Galatians are acting so foolishly, given how clearly Christ was proclaimed to you, that you must be under a spell. This is not only foolishness. Something else has to be happening here. Because Christ was already announced to you, and you receive him by faith. And not only announced, but clearly Christ was proclaimed to you. I have been praying for you, New Life Fellowship, in this task of finding a new pastor. And what I found here is something that you need to pray for this pastor. Lord, please give them someone who clearly proclaim Christ with sweet words, but also with harsh words. Because we are all prone we are all tempted. And sometimes we will need someone who cry with us. But sometimes we will need a Paul saying, don't act so foolishly. So we need someone who can use the words to lead us to Christ in a way that is so clear, so vivid, that we can find joy and that we can see the treasure that we have in him. But also someone who will make us think. The next four verses 2-5, are arguments. It's Paul saying, let me prove what I'm saying. Let me prove what I'm calling your attitude foolishness. As we already read, let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by words of the law or by hearing with faith? We need someone that will be bold enough to confront us when we need it. But not only bold, but that will love you, that will love the Lord and his church to confront us when we need it. Because of love. Because of love. Someone who, even having his own temptations, but who will also be there leading others, going back to Christ. And if you read chapter 2, the leaders of the church of this time were not immune to this kind of temptations. In chapter 2 of Galatians, we see Peter doing the exact same thing. He was being tempted to act according to what the Judaizers were teaching. So we need to pray for a pastor that understands not only what the scripture says, but also our own infirmities, or that our own the condition of our flesh. We are not there yet. We're still struggling. Paul continues and says, Yet having begun so well by the Spirit, you're now trying to reach perfection through fleshly works. That's backwards. I was thinking on Paul. Even when it's obvious that his words were tough, but these are pastoral words. It's obvious that he's not trying to destroy them, but to call them back. My version of Paul's words are, that's progression in absurdity. From supernatural beginning to natural ending. And we can see the pastoral tone in verse 4 when he says, wait. But think on the conclusion of what you're saying. If what you're saying is right, if what you're doing is right, then all these things that you have suffered, all these things that you have experienced for the sake of the gospel, all this joy that you have found in Jesus, in faith. Are all these things in vain? We're not true? And when we read his attitude in verse 4, it's like Paul saying, I refuse to believe it. And the reason he refuses it is because verse 5. And please, when I will read verse 5, but please note the connection with verse 2. Does he who supplies the Spirit... Verse 2 says, did you receive the Spirit? Verse 2, past. Verse 5, present. And he is saying, you are those abandoning the Spirit. The Spirit has not abandoned you. You are those being unfaithful. He remains faithful. And we need to remember this. Because we have the same temptations. Every time we sin, I wouldn't ask if any of you sinned this morning. I know the response to that. If we all raise our hands, that will be true. If we don't, we will be sinning again. He remains faithful. I was reading on your webpage. I was reading that this church was planted in 1996. So you're about to be 30 years old as a congregation. And I want to ask, it was by hearing by faith? Or through works of the law. Because I see the Lord still working here. I can say it was by hearing by faith. And it continues like that. But you will be tempted. You will be tempted. As individuals, but also as a church. You will be tempted maybe to say, oh, this task of finding a new pastor is so difficult. We need to do something. Oh, maybe we need to improve this or this or this. Let's do something. Let's make it happen. But that's not the solution. Dear church, dear family. continue the way you started. Continue praying. Asking the Lord for a servant who's faithful to Him first, who loves you. Even to say harsh words when not needed. And this is what Paul is using. Galatians, you know. You know by your own experience that the life in Christ is by faith. That it is an absurdity to consider that you start by the work of the Spirit in you and you will finish by your own efforts. Let's move to Exhibit B. Exhibit B, look at God's saving story. Or we can, if you want to consider another title for that, for Exhibit B, you could say Scripture. Or according to the Father's plan of grace. In Exhibit B, I will start in verse 6. Exhibit B reads, just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness, know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. It was through Abraham that the blessing to all nations, it was through Abraham, through God's promise to Abraham, that the blessing to all nations was known. And we are part of all these nations. So we have part in His promises as well. Through faith. Verse 6 is like Paul saying, remember that the Spirit was supplied by faith. That's exactly the pattern that God established with Abraham. He believed God and was credited to him as righteousness, not words, faith. So understand what this means, Galatians. And Paul continues giving arguments now from Scripture, saying, Galatians, please, what the Judaizers are suggesting is that in order to be sons of Abraham, you need to circumcise yourselves. Is this the way how Abraham came to enjoy the promises? No. And if we see in Genesis, was the Lord seeking Abraham in chapter 12, even 11, we could say, we read the passage of Genesis 15 where the Lord promised to him an offspring and he took him to count the stars. And it was in this context that Abraham received these words. when he was not believing, when he was not, when he was doubting about the promises of the Lord, when he was saying, "But I have no son yet." And the Lord says, "Yeah, but you will have not only one son. Come here and see the sky." And he believed. That was credited to him as righteousness. And it's the same God that we worship. And the God that was faithful to Abraham continues being faithful today, because he is faithful, even when we are not. And sometimes we could be tempted to follow one path or another. We could be tempted to start doing things in order to help God, as Abraham did in chapter 16. But God does not need help, because he is not only faithful, he's all powerful. He knows everything. There's nothing that is difficult for him. And he always fulfills his promises. But here again, you can see the pastoral tone in the words of Paul. "Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham." What he's telling to the Galatians is, brothers, you are not a second-class believers. You don't have to start doing things in order to be a better kind of believers. It is through faith. And now I'm telling this to you, brothers and sisters. You are not a plan B. You are not a plan C. Pay attention to the words of the scripture. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, "In you shall all the nations be blessed." You are not plan B, brothers and sisters. You are part of this plan A. You have been all the time, from eternity to eternity, in the mind of God to receive blessing through faith, not through effort, through faith. This is amazing. To consider that the Lord is not improvising. He knows what he's doing better than us. He knows where he is leading us. He knows what we need. He knows our sufferings. He knows what is the cost of following him. But he also knows and remembers every single one of his promises to his people. And one of the main promises is that he is with us. So, family of the faith, we are not alone. Let me speak now to this group in charge of finding a new pastor. Brothers, you are not alone. and you are not plan B. The Lord loves you. The Lord loves us. And Paul continues arguing against and for the Galatians. Therefore, the conclusion, Galatians, is inescapable. Those characterized by faith, whether Jew or Gentile, are blessed together with Abraham, the man of faith himself. We share his faith, his family identity, and his promised blessing. And it's the same with us. Maybe you are struggling with situations in your life, saying, oh, I need to do this, I need to do that. But the first thing that we need to do is to go in prayer to our Heavenly Father and remember His promises. And relearn His promises. And reread His promises. Because our flesh will be tempted again and again to start doing things by our own. It's what happened to Abraham. Chapter 15, the Lord took him out of his tent, showed him the skies. Chapter 16, what he was doing? Trying to help God. Interestingly, it was till chapter 17 that he was circumcised. So it started by faith. And even that circumcision was a symbol of faith. It was not something that Abraham was doing in order to show God how faithful he was. Because our relationship with God is by faith. Let me proceed to Exhibit C. Look at the cross. Or if we want a better title, theology. Or the Son, Jesus Christ, bore the curse and secured the blessing for us. Theology. Look at the cross. Let me read Exhibit C. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith, rather, the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. So we see in the first part, the Holy Spirit. The second part, the Father. Now we see the Son. The first part, we see the experience. The second part, we see the Scripture. Now we see theology. And what Paul is saying here is, by faith is the only way. Because if you rely on works, it's not a good thing for you, Galatians. Because the law demands perfect obedience. And we cannot do that. If Adam, who was perfect since creation, was not able, what about us? That we are sinners. So the foolish thing that we can try to do is to complete what the Lord has started through works. That's why Paul is calling them foolish, foolish Galatians. But he's reminding them, brothers, sisters, the righteous live by faith. And you can be called righteous. I can be called righteous, not because of what I do, but because as Jesus took my sin on him and died on that cross as the worst of sinners, not having sinned even once, now we can have access to the Father through Jesus. Because his righteousness, his perfect righteousness has been imputed into us, upon us. So that we can have confidence to come to him in the moment of that we need help. But not only that, we need to remember that we have two that are constantly interceding for us. Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. They are constantly praying for you to the Father. So, they three, who is one, have conspired for your good, to bless you. They have made promises that are being fulfilled, that have been fulfilled through Jesus and through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives every single day. And Paul says to the Galatians, it is obvious, no one is justified by the law. You want evidence? Your life, Abraham's life, Jesus Christ. It is not about something that you do. It's what he did in the cross. He paid the price. But he not only paid the price. He did not only suffer the penalty for our sins. But he also won. He earned the blessing for us. We were not only forgiven, but we were brought to a relationship with God. So Christ is the one who solved this. He is the one who redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. According to the words of Paul to Corinthians, he was made curse so that we may become righteousness. He took our place on the cross, bearing what we deserve. And he did this because of, or in order, for two glorious purposes. Verse 14. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. We, the Gentiles. It's interesting. When we think about Abraham, usually we think on Israel. But do you remember where was Abraham from? He was a Chaldean. He was taken from Ur. There was no nation of Israel at that moment. He was a Babylonian. And when we see Babylon, is the worst depiction of sin in the Revelation. And he was rescued from there. So there is hope for us. Not only because of Abraham, but also because of the promises of the Lord. It's pretty interesting. When we read this, so that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, to us, brothers and sisters. Second purpose, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Before closing this, I want you to pay attention to the Old Testament passages that Paul has been using here. He started with Genesis 15:6. That's where the Galatians began. That's where we began as well, by faith. Then Paul uses Deuteronomy 27:26. Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law. If you search that in the scripture, those words were given in the Mount Sinai. It was at the very beginning. It was when the law was given. But the law was given in order. The law was given so that the people of God may understand that through the works of the law, they were not able to come to the standard. So that they may be reminded that they need a mediator. The mediator promised to Adam in Genesis 3. Then Paul takes them to Habakkuk 2:4. The righteous shall live by faith. It's interesting because in that moment, judgment was coming to Israel because their lack of faith. That's where the Galatians were at that time. But then he takes them again to Deuteronomy, this time 21:23. Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. So Paul is taking them to the moment of redemption. We were singing about putting our eyes on Jesus. It's precisely what Paul is doing with the Galatians. It's what we need to do every single day, because every single day we will be tempted. We need to look again to the cross. We need to look back to our own experience as individuals, as a church. We need to go back to the scripture and read again the promises and the plan that the Lord has for us. And that's exactly the journey that the Galatians needed to go through again. So, dear family, maybe you're struggling with some failures in the past. Oh, I'm struggling now with my kids. They are now older. They are not taking good decisions. By faith. Continue by faith. Run to the Lord, who is there, willing to hear you every single day. Maybe you're struggling with health issues. Run to Jesus. Maybe you're struggling with financial issues. He's the owner of everything. We all have different kinds of pains, but we have the same Lord who is powerful to take our hands and lead us, because he has made us his children by faith. So New Life Fellowship. This is a good reminder that we have here so that we can pay attention every single day of our lives to go back to these promises, to remember all the benefits that we have received, to remember the promises that were made to our forefathers. And to be sure that our Lord does not change. So continue in faith. Let me pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, because You saved us, not because of something that we did, but despite all that we have done. Thank you because You saved us, not because of who we are, but despite of who we are. You saved us through Jesus Christ, Your Son, Your perfect Son. And You has brought us to You as Your children, through His work and the work of the Holy Spirit. Your work of putting or writing Your law and Your word in our heart so that we learn to love You. Not to earn something from You, but to love You. To live in righteousness, not as those who deserve something from You, but as those who are thankful and joyful living in Your kingdom. Lord, You have heard this morning the pains, the desires, the struggles maybe, but also the joy of depending on You and seeing Your creation here. But also the joy of being together, worshiping Your name, singing praises to Your name. And Lord, we ask You again this morning for Your blessing for this congregation, so that You can provide for them according to your riches, but also according to their need. So that You can provide for them according to their individual needs, but also to their collective needs. Provide a pastor for them, a man who loves You more than he could love them, but also a man who loves them because he loves You. Bless this precious family. Bless these precious children of Abraham. And let them rejoice in Your promises, continuing in the way that You have called them to walk. Continuing in the way that You have called them to life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.